Welcome to Wholehearted Wednesday. Today, we'll be hearing an amazing interview with our wonderful Heather Talheimer, interviewing the talented and award-winning artist and singer-songwriter, Sarah Ada.
Welcome, everybody, to Wholehearted Wednesday. And today we have a very special guest with us, Sarah Ada. She is a lot of things. She's an award-winning composer of film and game music, a classically trained pianist, and performing singer-songwriter. As a graduate of Boston's Berklee School of Music, it's no surprise that her talent has taken her further than most independent artists, allowing her to pave a non-traditional path and lifestyle to full-time artistry. And that's pretty an amazing deal because a lot of people want to become a full-time artist, but somehow can't find that way. And hats off to you, Sarah. Sarah's resume is just as diverse as her musical influences, including her more recent collaboration with YouTube sensation Alan Becker of Animator vs. Animator, a great short, and also co-creator of Fishwives Tales Project and with the award-winning poet Jennifer Jeanne, and writing music for rising star children's author Laurel Nakai. So I see that you have, you know, your hands in so many places that, you know, your creativity is extending into lots of genres and areas. You know, Sarah Ada is a thoughtful lyricist. I love some of the lyrics in your songs. They mean so much to me. And I love it that you're never afraid to ask the big questions in life. You're not trying to just be that artist who's like, everything's great, everything's about love. But specifically in your album, Dreams on Hold, you really delve into some of the challenges that face all people in life, I think. How do you balance career and the pursuit of your passions with taking care of your family and doing all the things, paying the bills and all the necessary things you have? So. I love your work, and it's such a diverse body of work, too. And so I wanted to invite you onto Wholehearted just to learn more about your work and about your journey as an artist. So I'm really curious about that. And also, if there's anything else you want to tell us, Sarah, about who you are as we enter this conversation.
Cool. Well, I'm honored that you asked me to do this. I'm excited. Mm. Yeah.
Well, cool. So I've known you a long while, and also I read in your resume on your website that you started when you were 3 years old, and then you had music lessons, and it reminded me about studying music when I was a kid. My mom made me like have piano lessons, and I think I have close to zero musical talent, so it was just kind of like an exercise in futility. But maybe made some money for the music teacher, but it did nothing to stir musical talent within myself. And so, you know, presumably it worked for you. So, like, tell me what it was like. When did you first know you were going to be an artist?
Oh, well, you know, definitely a lot later. So I did start playing the piano when I was 3, but in the sense that I was really just messing around on it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to like figure out things with my ears, you know, just kind of sitting there trying to figure out how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know, whatever little nursery rhymes I knew at the time. And so it was apparent to my parents that I had some kind of musical ability and like maybe we should give her some piano lessons. So at 5, I started piano lessons. But yeah, it's funny. I was very involved in a lot of different things at really not much after 5. I was already doing, you know, competitions and playing with the school theater groups and stuff like that. Whatever needed music, I was like there doing it. Hmm. But it wasn't until I want to say when I was 14 years old, I did this musical called Once on This Island, and I was the pianist for the musical. And that was my first time playing with a band. You know, I had played with orchestras before and with choirs, but not a band setting. But I was the pianist for this musical, so I had to be there for every rehearsal to help rehearse the singers and the actors. But it was towards the very end that they had these very professional older musicians come and play with me. And I just, everything about it, I loved it so much. I actually loved even the rehearsing. I loved being, I don't know, such an integral part of such a huge, difficult sort of thing to pull off. A musical theater is like just, you know, it's just such a huge labor of love. And I think that the fact that I wanted to wake up super early in the morning and I was excited to work because it was so much work and I loved it. I never once felt, you know, oh, I wish I couldn't do it today or I wish I could take a break. I loved it. And it really, I don't know if it was really that moment where I thought this is the only thing I'm going to do and it's going to be my job. I don't know about that, but I definitely realized I need to do this in my life. I don't think it hit me that it really could be a profession. I don't know that it hit me at that point, but I just felt very strongly, you know, I want to feel this way all the time, which I guess is I want to feel like I'm working hard and I'm loving what I'm doing at the exact same time. And yeah, so I think that was probably my starting point. And then, you know, I've always had a lot of interests in my life. So it wasn't maybe until I was 16 that I really decided, okay, I'm going to go to music school and I'm just going to study music. I'm just going to be a musician. That's what I'm going to do. But previous to that, you know, I had lots of interests. I wanted to be a marine biologist for a while. I wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. I don't know why I thought I had that ability because I can swim. I can swim, but I am not a very, I was on the swim team for a semester and they were very happy when I left. I was terrible. So, you know, and those are just two of many, many things. I want to be a screenplay writer. I want to be an actress. There were so many things I was interested in. You know, I loved science. I loved literature. I loved the arts. There was just so many things. So yeah, it wasn't until I was 16 that I kind of realized this is it. You know, this is what I'm gonna do. Yeah.
So, you know, it's so interesting to me because I could see you really following your passion, and that's a sign that it's a passion. It's who you are when you love getting up early in the morning and practicing. It's not even a, I must do this. It's, I want to be there. I want to do this. And that's so fortunate in your life to find that thing that it is for you, which is music. And I know you went to Berklee School of Music and you studied, you know, writing music for cinema and also games, video games. And I'm just wondering, where does that all come from? You know, if someone told me, oh, why don't you write some music for a movie? I'd be like in Panic Attack City, like, you know, where is the muse? So, you know, you've done a lot of creating in your life and I'm wondering where your muse is or what is your muse?
Well, yeah, writing for film and media in general, I mean, I'm not saying that there is no muse, but to be honest, it's kind of different because, because what you're doing is you are creating something that is meant for something that's previously created, right? So the form that you're writing for, whether it's video game or a commercial or a film, it's basically done. And on top of that, the director / the producers, they usually have a pretty clear idea of what they want already. And if they hired you to do the music, they probably think, you know, okay, she or he is going to write this, is going to be able to do what I already have in my head that I want.
Got it.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that they're completely open-ended and it can be anything. And I have been lucky enough to do a couple of projects like that. One video game in particular, he was like, do whatever you want. And that was great because I definitely could tap into, you know, the muse, so-called, and be more experimental and do whatever I want. And that was a lot of fun. And I am really proud of that music, probably more proud of that music than a lot of the other stuff that I've done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, usually it's not quite like that. It's more collaborative and doing, I wouldn't even say collaborative fully, actually. It's slightly collaborative, slightly, you know, you are actually trying to substantialize what someone already has in their head, which is actually very, very, very hard. And probably one of the nicest compliments I've gotten from other people is that I have learned how to take, you know, direction from people who aren't necessarily musical, don't necessarily know how to describe what they want,
yeah,
but somehow figure it out, you know, even with just scraps of details, like, okay, I think, and then at the same time, when I give them something and then they're like, no, this isn't what I wanted, to be sort of humble enough and realize, yeah, well, okay, it's all right. We'll just try this again. Yeah. So,
That's
really a skill. Yeah. Yeah. Not as much muse. I mean, there can be a muse involved.
Yeah.
It depends on the project, to be honest. Yeah.
I imagine, what would you say your muse was or is for Dreams on Hold? Like, what stimulated you to write
this
album? Can you talk a little bit about that album for our listeners who don't know about that?
Sure. Yeah. That album was a journey for me. I would say, I mean, my kids, like, hands down, have been, like, not just my kids, but my experience in learning how to be a mom and also retain my individuality.
And, <That's odd one.
laughs> and yeah, because to be honest, I think a lot of moms have the reverse issue where they have to remind themselves how to be individuals and how to, like, do things for themselves. And for me, it was more the opposite, where it's so natural for me to, like, pursue my dreams and pursue the things that I'm interested in. And then becoming a mom was very, very, very challenging for me. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I was probably a little too young. Like, I don't think I really realized the implications.
Yeah.
People told me and warned me, but I do not think I realized it. No, I mean, I definitely did not realize it. So it was really, really hard, actually. I would say the first 2 years of motherhood were incredibly, incredibly dark and hard for me, even though I loved my child. I just had one at the time, but I had to really come to terms with, what does this mean as an artist? Like, how do I proceed here? And how do I put this human being, like, first in my life, but still really do what I care about? Because I feel very strongly that I will be the best parent if I am also the best to myself, you know? But how do you do both of those things at the same time? It's like, it's just, I'm still learning, to be honest. But anyway, so as I kind of re-entered the music world, because I definitely took a bit of a break for about, I would say, like, a year and a half or so.
Okay.
Initially, I did not tell anyone I was a mom. I was in a new area, so people didn't know me. So if I were in Boston, which is where I was previous to that, then I couldn't fake it, right? But I was in Chicago, so no one in the music world knew me there. So for a while, I never told anyone I was a mom. I tried to keep it a secret, and with good reason, to be honest, because when people, it's sad, but when people know that you're a mom, or even just a parent in general, but I'm definitely going to say, especially if they know you're a mom, the perception just changes.
Yeah.
You're not a serious musician anymore, you
right.
know, unless you already have, like, lots and lots of accolades or something like that. So I kept it a secret, and, you know, long story short, I never wanted to write songs about being a mom, because then, you know, the secret's out. Then everyone knows. But it just, when my daughter was born, and she was born 4 years after my son, I don't know why, maybe because she's a girl and I'm a girl, there was this sudden, like, realization that I don't know, I have to be a better example to them. I can't, I have to learn how to live, kind of what this podcast is about, like my truest life. And I can't like hide parts of myself, you know? So I didn't want to, but I started writing songs about parenthood, and they were usually like kind of funny and tongue in cheek, or maybe even like sad, but they still sounded funny. I think it was my way of coping or something. And then I just, for some reason, played one of them a couple of times for people, and people just loved it more than all my other stuff. And I really think it's just because I was just showing my true self.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And I realized, okay, I'm just going to dive into the deep end here. I'm going to make an album with all this music.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no going back. Then literally, you know, I don't want it to be what I'm known for, but I can never hide from it anymore. I'm going to force myself to just be 100% real. And I'm not just going to put out an album, like just put it out there. I'm going to get the best musicians I can. I'm going to, you know, put like all the chips on the table with this. I'm going to promote the crap out of it. I'm going to just do everything I can with it, with the amount of resources I have. And then therefore sort of just be like, this is me. All right.
Right.
Have to, but if you don't like it, that's fine. I'm going to move on, because there are other people who are going to
love it. Actually, I know so many people who love your albums, and as a parent myself, I can relate to it. And I think it's really wonderful that in the music world, there are songs that speak to all aspects of life. And I love that song you have. I've forgotten the name of it. The one about the shadow that they're following.
It's called Shadow.
Shadow?
Yes.
And they're following you around the whole time, watching everything you do. And then they do something, and you realize, oh my God, that's what I do. They're watching me all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. Yeah. And now you have a new album coming out, right? Or a new single?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I put out Dreams on Hold in May of 2019, which is like not even a year ago. And I don't know. I think that I write, like you've mentioned, I write all kinds of stuff. And so Dreams on Hold is very rootsy Americana. It has like a folky vibe. It has a touch of like, I don't know, New Orleans jazz and a little bit of gospel and that kind of thing. But I write a lot of stuff that's much more influenced by my classical background. I wouldn't say that it's classical music, but it definitely harkens to that part of my early life. And you know, I guess I just wanted to kind of make a 180 in a way. And it's sort of against what probably I'm supposed to be doing from a, you know, building a music business standpoint. You kind of want to go in one direction for a little while. But I don't know. I guess I just wanted to put something out that's just totally different. And the fact is, I've played this song several times at shows, and I noticed that there's certain people that really gravitate to that song. They might not relate to Dreams on Hold, but they really, yeah, really like this song, which is called Pour Over Me. And, you know, I think that I couldn't think of an album to put it with. I couldn't think of like other songs that it might necessarily go with, but I thought if people really, really like this song, it might even be a different group of people. And maybe this doesn't really fit in with everything I've been doing the past couple mm-hmm. years. But, you know, in the end, I just want to be someone who's creating for the sake of giving back to the world. So this song is not, you know, it's not like earth shattering. Now that I said that, it probably sounds like, oh my God, what am I going to hear now? But it's not quite like that, but it is, you know, it is sort of like a gift. It doesn't really have a purpose actually, other than people like it. And I just wanted to make, I always want to make the best art that I possibly can. And I think that it's also fun to just do something completely different. So this is very different from everything else. And I'm just kind of putting it out there, you know, cause why not? Sometimes you just got to say, why not? Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. In fact, it's perfect. Let's take a listen to it right now. So,
okay,
let's listen to Pour Over Me.
left the pen, still the poetry is spilled. Please pour over me while I pour over you. Won't you pour over me?
Wow, that is a beautiful song. When I was listening to it, I wanted to cry. I don't know why, like, tears came up for me. And some of the lyrics are so profound and beautiful. Like, I'm thinking of keep my heart at ease while the beauty unfolds. You know, what a beautiful sentiment. I felt in that song there's this backdrop of this relationship, pour over me and I'll pour over you. Can you tell us a little bit about where this amazingly beautiful song comes from?
Yeah, so unlike a lot of my music, this actually really was a, I don't really know how to put this, but it was almost a throwaway song. And what that means is I'm just writing a song just for the sake of writing a song. And I actually did this thing called February Album Writing Month. I'm actually doing it right now, where you're supposed to write 14 songs during the month of February. So it is ambitious. So 3 years ago, I did that. It was my first time doing it. And, you know, I wrote a bunch of not great songs, of course, but some of the songs turned out really good. And this one was honestly just inspired by all the other songs I was listening to from other people participating in February Album Writing Month. And it just kind of there was one person in particular. I won't say her name, partially because I don't even remember her name, but also because it doesn't, in a way, it doesn't matter who it was. There's just this one person. She's not like a professional musician. She just was participating. As far as I know, she doesn't have any kind of online presence or anything. But I started following her because this is an online community, so you post your songs as you complete them. And I was listening to her music, and she just seemed, this was just my own perception, I don't know if it's true, but she seemed really like sad, but the music was like incredibly beautiful and sad at the same time. Mm. And I was sort of imagining, you know, what was her life like and what was going on with her at that time when she wrote this music. And it just really struck a chord with me. So actually, that's when I wrote Pour Over Me. I wrote it within a couple of hours, pretty much. Most of the lyrics were fully formed by the time I finished. And then I did a little tweaking later on because I usually edit my work later on. But yeah, it was kind of just about how she really inspired me and just being in that headspace of wanting the work of others that I find incredibly beautiful and just awe-inspiring to, I just want to like soak it up. You know, I want, as I'm pouring over what they're doing, like P-O-R-E, yeah. You know, I want what they're doing to sort of like come into me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's because I feel like art in a lot of ways is a very symbiotic process of taking in the works of others. And that can even, you know, take on a spiritual meaning too, because I kind of feel like even looking at nature, looking at not necessarily art, but just the things that people are creating is, yeah, when you really become in the moment and observe it, then it just naturally seeps into who you are, you know, or in the very least you want it to, right? You want it to, so that you can somehow project it back yourself. So yeah, that's a very long explanation, but that's in short or in long.
I really appreciate that because it's such a beautiful concept, like pour over me, I'll pour over you, that we do that for each other.
Yeah.
We kind of fill each other. And there was one line in it, collect the pain, spin it into gold, then give it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful lyric because it really reminds us, yeah, we experience a lot of pain and difficulty in our lives, but if we can spin it into gold, and then just the idea of like giving it all away, that generosity.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. I encourage everybody to get the album, get the single rather. It's not an album, right? It's a single. But to get it. And what's your website so people can go to your website and see your other work too?
Yeah, it's sarahaide.com. That's spelled SARAHEIDE.com. Yeah, and everything's there. And actually, so the single is being released. Well, it will be released by the time this podcast is out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, on Monday, actually, I'm officially releasing it. So it'll be on Spotify and iTunes and wherever people want to stream music, Bandcamp. But I'm actually working on a music video as well for this. So that will probably be released at the end of March or maybe the beginning of April. Yeah, and it'll be like a visual representation of everything I just described. So it's going to be very... It's going to be very cool. I'm excited about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you because you're obviously a mom and, you know, you have a husband. He has a career. you work as well as doing this music. How do you make it all work? Because I really admire you because, you know, I think a lot of times in life we give up on our dreams because it just seems so hard how to fit it all together with life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what powers you, what helps you, apart from a great husband, obviously, who supports you, what helps you kind of make all that happen?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. one that I should ponder about a little more on my own. So the fact is it's extremely challenging. I'm sure you know that as well. Like it's really... really hard. And I think a big part of it is just constantly meditating on how things are going, what can I change? And I don't just mean in my music career, but in my relationship with my husband, in my relationship with my children. You know, it's just constantly morphing and changing. And it is very hard, because also as one thing progresses, you know, in particular, like my music career, it's getting busier, and I'm starting to hit walls, you know, like the wall of, okay, how can I expand this without sacrificing my relationship with my husband or my kids or whatever, you know, keep sanity in my life, like literally keep my body healthy, you know, really basic stuff like that, like go to the gym enough and eat healthy, you know, there's so many things. And it, as I continue and as I try to grow and grow my business, grow my artistry, those things, I have to constantly be adjusting. And if I don't, then something's going to fall apart, to be honest. And so to answer your question about how I keep going, well, first of all, there are so many, I'm just saying this because there's maybe someone out there listening to this who needs to hear this. There are so many times where literally yesterday, even yesterday, I was like, I don't know how I can keep going. I don't know.
Yeah.
So really, I don't know, but I know, I guess I know, I don't know how, but I know why. And for me, the why is I've just felt at a very, very young age that I wanted to be someone who would help the world, I guess. And I know that sounds really big, but I honestly think, well, if everybody felt that way, that'd be pretty amazing, first of all. And it doesn't mean, you know, it does for some people, hopefully it does mean becoming the president or whatever, you know, something like that. But I think for me, it's making art that moves people and helps people feel, you know, connected to something greater than themselves. I think that that's sort of been my mission. And, you know, I don't think I have it all figured out, and I don't think I know how to do it. I'm like constantly struggling and learning and trying. But ultimately, you know, even this single, there's, unlike a lot of my other work, there's no strategy. I don't know. I'll probably never make the money back from this single. I don't know. But I think that it's beautiful, and it will impact, even if all it does is, even if all it did was make you cry a little bit.
I was going to say, it's going to impact me.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I strongly believe
in
the value of every individual in this world. You know, I think especially in the past year or so, I've really come to believe that that is sort of the center of everything for me, is the value of every single individual person. And if my art just changes the life of one person, then I think I've done my job. But not that the job is done. So like, you know, I think that that's what just kind of keeps me going, really, is that sense of purpose that I need to change the world, even if it's just one person at a time, it's okay. Yeah.
And this song has so many layers to it, because you were talking about that creative process and idea that's behind the song, but also it stands alone also just as a love song.
I know, it's kind of sexy,
it's
huh?
It's very sexy.
Yeah. I wonder if there'll be any children conceived from this song. You know?
I hope so, because if they are, they'll be, you know, conceived from such a beautiful place.
I know. And it's funny, because initially a lot of people were like, oh, well, who is this about? Is this about Jason? No, there's nothing. I did not have a romantic thought in my head when I wrote this song. I literally had somebody ask, I had a musician ask me if I wrote it because of them. And I was like, wow.
No.
way to, you know, flatter yourself, though.
No, but I think that's a sign of great art is because the art isn't just about what the artist wants to give, but it's also about what the people experiencing the art also want to receive and create out of it for themselves. And, you know, to me, that's like one definition of, you know, beautiful art is when the observer of it, the person experiencing the art, can say, that's my love song, or that's me creating, whatever that they interpret, and they experience something from it. And I just predict that in the future, lots of weddings will include this song. And
that would be amazing. I hope your prediction comes true. That would be amazing.
It would. Anyway, it's very, very beautiful. You know, you talked a lot about your journey and some of the challenges behind that. What advice would you have for young artists? You know, for someone, perhaps they're in high school, perhaps they're in college, or, you know, they're, you know, just entering into life. And what advice would you give them?
Wow, there's like so many things. I guess two things. I think the first thing is be humble and realize that you don't have everything figured out. You just don't. And it's okay. It's totally, totally okay. I think that there are so many people nowadays who are just pushing this idea of know your brand and blah, 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 and like stuff like that. Hopefully that makes sense. I don't know if you want to elaborate on what that means.
No, I understand that. I think people
understand. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying that isn't true or something, but the fact is you probably have that already, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of self-discovery to figure out like what that is. And, you know, just be humble enough to know it's just going to take time and a lot of hard work. And on top of that, you might think you know it at some point, and then you realize later that's not exactly what it is, or, you know, this is not exactly who you are, or this is not the exact thing that, or maybe it was what you wanted to do and now you're changing. So I think just having, and I think it does take humility to do that, to be able to realize that it is this like constant journey of self-discovery to not only figure out what you want to do, but how you want to do it and why you want to do it. So that would be my first advice. And then my second piece of advice, which really they go hand in hand, is always seek mentors and always seek peers that are at least at the same level as you, or if not higher. Mm-hmm. I think that something that I find is a problem, and I don't think I necessarily do it myself, but I do see others doing it, is sort of you want to surround yourself with people who make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
And make you feel like, oh, I've got this
right.
All figured out. And the fact is, you know, I don't think I've ever willingly put myself in that situation, but I know that when I am in that situation where I'm whatever, the best songwriter, or like I've achieved the most, or I don't know, whatever, then I don't feel like I'm in a place where I can grow. You know, I think you should always try to find people who are two or three steps ahead of you. And even though it'll kind of be uncomfortable, but there's really no other way. I just don't think there's any other way to grow and expand and get stronger at your skill set and learn more about, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. So I think just always trying to throw yourself in the deep end, even if it's scary. Even if like maybe you don't have the skill set yet, but just try to put yourself in as many situations as you can where you're with people who are better than you, you know? And like I originally said, and mentorship, you know, and the fact is you're going to have to just keep asking people like, can you be my mentor? And don't even say, can you be my mentor? Cause they'll probably say no, because they're probably too busy. So just keep throwing yourself at people and I don't know. I think that would be like the two biggest pieces of advice that I would give.
Well, you know, that's really helpful. And I think it's true in all aspects of life, regardless of what your particular talent,
yeah.
pursuit is to, you know, strive for excellence, but that means you have to come out of your comfort zone a little bit. And as you said, surround yourself with people that can really offer you something.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll be saying yes to someone who's looking for a mentor soon.
Oh, like, don't forget, don't tell me that you want me to be your mentor. You got to be sneaky, you know? You got to say, hey, I really want to take you out to dinner, Sarah, or something like that. And then I'll be like, oh, okay. You got to be sneaky. You got to be
sneaky. Good advice. It's been so fun talking with you and also just learning more about your music and how you go about that. Because I think the musical world is such a mystery to most people. And there's this idea that, you suddenly get this hit and then you become famous. And, you know, but there's a lot of hard work and investment and also calling behind it that, you know, this is what you have to offer the world, as you were saying. And, you know, this is what it is that you have to give. So, you know, thank you for investing so much, you know, in developing your talent and also sharing it with us, because I really enjoy your music. Sometimes I listen to Dreams on Hold as I drive to work, and it's just such an upbeat, funny, deep, incredible album. And whenever I listen to it, I think, like, Disney needs Sarah. You should contact Sarah.
I know, right?
Kind of voice and, like, you know.
Hey.
So when I make friends with someone from Disney, I'm going to tell them about you, okay?
Oh, man. You know, I watched Toy Story 4 yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, like, hands down, Randy Newman is probably, he's definitely, like, one of my top three heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, yeah. Well, he's like, well, is that Pixar or Disney? I guess they're the same thing at this point or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. But anyways, hey, Disney, come on, give me a call. Randy
That's
Newman.
That's right.
Randy Newman, I want you to be my mentor. Let me take you out to dinner.
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, just in closing our conversation for today, but I hope you come back another time and we can chat more.
Yeah.
We always like to ask our guests, what does wholehearted mean to you? How do you experience that in your life? And what does that mean?
I think wholehearted means you put your full self out there, even if parts of yourself are not what people want to see, or maybe you don't feel it's worth putting out there, but it is putting really, like, every single part of yourself. And as you discover new parts of yourself, then you put that out there too. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the second half of that would be just, I think it's really putting all the chips on the table, not just like putting your whole self out there, but also putting all the energy that you can into it, you know, being generous. I think that that's kind of like generosity is really the word that I'm looking for. Not feeling like, oh, well, you know, let me just do X amount because I don't know what I'm going to get back in return.
Right.
It's not thinking that way. It's thinking, you know, I'm just going to put all the chips on the table, put everything that I have. And if I get something in return, awesome, you know, because, and that's valuable, that sort of reciprocation. But ultimately, you know, you have to be wholehearted. You do have to just be doing that yourself, even if it feels like a risk, you know, even if you're not sure what you're going to get back in return, be just do it anyways. And I think that's what it means to me.
Cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for spending this afternoon and just chatting with us at Wholehearted. And we really well in your newly released single.
Thank
and
you.
And look forward to talking to you again sometime. So thank you very much, Sarah Ada.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.